Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when do we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وصلى الله على رسوله الأمين وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. Dear listener, brother and sister, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to another episode of Islamic Upbringing on Call of Islam Radio, broadcasted from the holy city of Qum. In this series, we aim to learn and discuss the Islamic perspective of tarbiyat, which is child upbringing, by looking at the Quran and the ahadith of the Holy Prophet and his holy progeny. The guest for our show is Brother Miqdad, who is a researcher in the Islamic Hawza in the holy city of Qum. Brother Miqdad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, and welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for inviting me.
So in the last show, we were discussing about a hadith. So we read the hadith in the last episode. Brother Miqdad, can you please give us an explanation of this hadith?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So yes, we mentioned this hadith from the fourth imam, which Al-Tirmidhi narrates from Kitab Man La Yadhur Al-Faqih, which is a reliable book of hadith from Sheikh Saduq. And it's also mentioned in Al-Khisal, which is also a book from Sheikh Saduq. So the point I wanted to highlight in this hadith is this section where the fourth imam tells Abu Hamza Thumali, he says that amongst the right of the child, etc., until this point, you are responsible for teaching him good manners, number one, leading him towards his Lord, number two, and assisting him in obeying him, number three. Note the way that the Imam mentions this thing. Number one, he says, you're responsible. The translation, note how the Imam puts these instructions to these rights in the hadith. He doesn't say that you have to impose good manners on your child. He says, make good manners attached to your child. You bring out good manners from him. It will be a better translation than teaching. Number two, وَالدَّلَالَةِ عَلَى رَبِّ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, and that you yourself become a dalalat. You yourself become an introduction for the child to realize Allah. And thirdly, وَالْمَعُونَةِ عَلَى طَاعَتِهِ, and you assist him towards obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards becoming a good servant of Allah. Again, it's assistance, it's not imposing. All these three points highlight this very key point in our definition of tarbiyah, our definition of child upbringing, which is to prepare the grounds for it. This is not something that you impose on a child. This is not something that you write for the child his entire destiny of how it's going to be. This is just preparing the grounds. Everything comes from above. It's the water that comes from above. And it's the will of Allah that makes the seed grow into a tree. It's just the farmer's role is just to make sure that the earth is well prepared, that the light and the water is good, etc., etc. This is very important. So it brings back to this understanding of preparing the grounds.
What is interesting in this hadith is that when he talks about introducing Allah, which means that the person himself has to practice and has to be on this path to be able to guide his child as well.
That's very well spotted, yes. And this is something we're going to talk about later on as well, that upbringing is not a set of actions that a parent does towards the child. No, it's also consisting of the actions that the parent does fi nafsi, by himself. In other words, the parent's attitude or the parent's behavior, the parent's actions between themselves has a very important impact in the whole child upbringing program. And you see, out of all these three points that the Imam mentioned here, one of them only was where you would actually bring out and do something towards the child. The other two were actually indirectly. You indirectly introduce Allah to the child, and you indirectly assist him to obey him.
So it would be very, let's say, ridiculous for a parent to complain that, for example, his 15-year-old, 16-year-old son or daughter is completely ignoring or giving little importance to Islam, when the parent himself, at an age where the child was still a baby, wouldn't give this importance to Islam.
Yes.
Oh, sing, children of the world, come together and hear the call. Sing, children of the world, Islam will unite us all.
So we just read this hadith and we saw there are three points that the Imam mentions. Is tarbiyat restricted to these three points?
Child upbringing is not restricted to these three points. That in this hadith is mainly about the rights of the child. You could say that these are the main key points of child upbringing. But obviously, part of upbringing is also to teach the child important skills for daily life. For example, in the next page you have another hadith that talk about the importance of... Not in the next page, sorry. In page 141, hadith number 255, you have the hadith that talk about the importance of teaching the child how to write. This is another part of child upbringing, to be able to equip the child with skills that are very important for his physical life, for his daily bread life.
So we can say that these three points, so bringing in good manners, introducing Allah and assisting him and obeying him, are basically the fruits you would expect from a good upbringing.
Definitely. This is because the goal of creation. The goal of creation is what we're after. We want the child to reach the goal of creation, which is to achieve perfection through servitude. And these are the things that bring the servitude and perfection, which is good manners, knowing Allah and obeying Allah.
And what is also very interesting in these three points, that each point is about one major aspect of the Islamic religion, which is the first one, bringing good manners, is looking at the akhlaq. The introducing Allah is basically the belief system, the aqaid, and the obedience to him is looking at the ahkam or the fiqh side of things.
It's a very good point. We have the hadith that talk about the types of knowledge, and the Prophet says that there's only three types of knowledge. The rest are just fadl. It's a good thing, but it's not real knowledge. The real knowledge is the belief, the akhlaq, and the fiqh, the obedience of Allah.
Okay. It would be interesting to look more in detail about what you just mentioned, and maybe if we can bring a hadith to emphasize on this point. But to continue the discussion, so we said these are the fruits from a good upbringing. So what is it that the parents shouldn't do?
So firstly, the parents shouldn't think that they are the primary cause of every trait that occurs in a child or every action that a child performs. This is something to do with a perspective. This is something to do with how they look at things. Many parents feel that, it is I who ensure that my child becomes a truthful person. It is I, as a parent, who ingrained my child with love of Salah, for example. It is me that made sure that my child is very curious, asks Salah questions, and become very clever. No, parents should realize that actually everything that comes is from Allah. Guidance comes from Allah. Growth of a child comes from Allah. Just as Allah grows the tree from the seed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grows the child in his physical aspect, in his spiritual aspect, in his emotional aspect. Allah is in control. The parents have, all they've done is done preparing the grounds for Allah's mercy to pour down, for Allah's guidance to pour down. And parents should realize that.
And Allah does say that if you trust Him, then He will help you. But if you believe that everything comes from you, then He will leave everything in your own hands and you will obviously make a big mess out of it because of your lack of knowledge.
Yeah, so it's how we look at things. And in this, obviously, dua plays a very important part in upbringing, that we should seek Allah's help in this. Number two is that parents shouldn't feel in charge of their child's growth. Sometimes parents have this attitude that when my child is born, I've already written down what he's going to become, where he's going to be 20, 25, 30, what job he's going to have, what career he's going to excel in, who he's going to marry, etc., etc. No, these are things that the child chooses himself, number one. Number two, they're part of the growth. The child, the parent don't decide if this seed is going to become a pomegranate tree or an apple tree. The parents should just ensure that they prepare the grounds. Whatever Allah decides for the seed to become, it'll become. Not the parents should not write down the whole biography of the child even before he's two.
Now, what you said was very interesting. A lot of people have this idea that arranged marriage, in the sense that parents decide for the child from a very young age, for example, in some cultures, who they should marry. Is this then not accepted in Islam?
Obviously, we have in Islam that, for example, for a woman to marry a man, they require the permission of father. If she's a virgin, then she requires the permission of her father. But they forget that they also require her permission as well. She has to accept the marriage. And definitely the choice of the couple themselves is very important. And it shouldn't be that the parents decide for the children who they're going to marry, no.
Okay, so you said that the progress and the growth of the baby in terms of the child, in terms of his personality, etc., is not in the parents' hand, it's in God's hand. So can the parents just feel like, okay, if the child went wrong, then it wasn't their fault?
No. So there's an important balance that we need to understand here. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in charge of the growth of this child, and the parents are responsible for the preparation of the grounds for it. But it's a responsibility. And parents should ensure that they fulfill this responsibility at the best way possible that they can. And at the same time, they should always rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if the child excels, then, and the parent did their best, then alhamdulillah. If it is possible that the child excels, but the parents didn't do anything, that's also possible. It's also possible that the parents do everything, and we've seen this. The case of Prophet Nuh is one example. That the parents do everything they can to prepare the grounds, yet the seed doesn't become a tree. It's possible as well. The key point here is that parents, as parents, have a responsibility, and they should fulfill the responsibility, their duty in the eyes of Allah, as best as they can.
So basically, we should put in mind that tarbiyat has a big role in a person's progress, but that's not the only thing, and therefore it can go wrong somewhere.
Definitely. Come back to this point of responsibility. If you go to page 127, the next hadith, 221, again, Imam Sajjad says, same sort of hadith where he talks about the rights of the child. When the Imam talks about وَأَنَّكَ مَسْؤُولٌ, this مَسْؤُولٌ means that you will be asked about on the Day of Judgment, obviously. So it means that you are responsible for it. As a parent, it is your duty to ensure that you perform all the rights of the child and that you ensure that you give him upbringing. And we're going to talk about the rights of the child later on as well. What are the key rights of a child? But these are rights that the child has upon the parents, and the parents should fulfill them, and this is their responsibility. If you look at the hadith very carefully, it's very interesting. It says that you should act. He talks to the parents. He said you should act in regards to this affair like one who beautifies himself for having a good impact on his child in this world. And this is the point that I'm emphasizing, has accomplished near his Lord his responsibility between him and his child. So this is a responsibility that the parent has between him and Allah, and it's something that they should fulfill.
So basically, Allah in a lot of things requires us to fulfill our responsibilities and not necessarily reach that was meant for it.
That's very true. What's important for us is to walk on the path. Whether we reach or not is not in our hands. For us, it's important to plant the seed. Whether this seed becomes a tree or not, that's not my concern. For us is to ensure that we pray on time. Whether this salah is accepted or not, that's not our concern. Aim is to ensure that we go and do Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar. We tell people about doing good and we refrain them from saying bad things, from doing bad things. Whether this has an effect or not is beyond us.
Okay, and the Prophet was given a similar message when Allah told him that, you know, your role is to guide the people. You cannot force them, and the end is with Allah, as in Allah is the one who guides. Okay, thank you very much. So, a quick summary. We said that the parent's role is to help a child in develop in his akhlaq, in his good manners, and the parents should also do a tarbiyat in a way that the child would go towards believing in Allah and obeying Him. And it's very important to know that tarbiyah or Islamic upbringing is the parent's duty to fulfill his responsibilities and do what he has to do and leave the rest with God. And just as a final point before we take a short break, Imam Sajjad, the fourth Imam in his compilation of supplication, has a dua or a supplication for children. And this is worth reading for all parents, whether they have children now or they would like to have children. Okay, so it's time for a short break. So, dear listener, please stay with us. We'll be back in a few moments.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space returned upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Dear listener, welcome back to Islamic Upbringing on Call of Islam Radio. We are with Brother Miqdad discussing the responsibilities of parents in Islamic upbringing. So we said that upbringing is a responsibility that the parents have, and Allah is the one who helps in this process and helps the child to reach its potential. So how long is this upbringing meant to take?
Child upbringing starts from the age of zero. Actually, no, that's not true. Child upbringing starts way before that. Just as we said, that the actions and the understanding and the knowledge and the behavior of the parent have an impact, and this behavior doesn't change in a day. So parents who are going to have children in a year, 2 years, 3 years from now on should prepare themselves, becoming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this itself will have a greater impact on the child. But generally, we can say it starts from when child is born until the age of 21. If you go to page number 153 of our Children in the Quran and Sunnah book, hadith number 273, we have this hadith, which is a hadith that you most likely have heard of before. It's from the Holy Prophet, and it's a hadith, the content of which is repeated in many different hadiths from different imams as well. Let's just read the first one from the Holy Prophet. Atul Rishari mentions this hadith from Makarim al-Akhlaq. And this hadith says that قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الولد سيد سبع سنين وعبد سبع سنين ووزير سبع سنين فإن رضيت etc. So the Holy Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says that the child is a master for 7 years, he is a servant for 7 years, a minister for 7 years. If you are pleased with him, and he carries on. The key here is that the child upbringing is divided to 3 sections, from 0 to 7, 7 to 14, 14 to 21, and at 21 it finishes. What these 3 stages mean, we're going to talk about it later, obviously, each of them in different sections. But how long should Tarbiyat last is till 21. Now, what happens after 21 is that, yes, you can still have an upbringing happening after 21. But number one is that it's very difficult to have any effect for an adult of 21 to still be under a parent's upbringing is very difficult, number one. Number two, the child and the parent relationship after 21 changes in a way that upbringing doesn't have really a place in this relationship. However, that doesn't mean, obviously, that there's no advice coming from both sides. That doesn't mean there is no instructions from the parents for the child. That doesn't mean that there is no more listening for the child towards the parents. No, all this is still there. But the form is not a form of upbringing. It's a different type of form. It's a more adult relationship between two adults, basically. It's still at the level of one is the child has to listen to the parents, etc. But those things are more for the adult, and it doesn't come really on the chapter of upbringing. And the hadith are very clear on that. For 7, 7, 7, for 21 years, and after that, upbringing closes the chapter in that sense.
Okay, I would like to just go one step back. We said at the beginning of this session that a parent is meant to be guiding, not necessarily directly, but is meant to be guiding the child towards good morals, towards a belief in God, and towards obedience of God. Now, a parent who, for example, for most of his life has not been religious, but has a hope that his child will be growing up in a religious way. Now, he doesn't have much knowledge, nor does he have much, his belief is may not be very strong. What should he do then that his child can reach that level? Or should he avoid having a child so that he does not lead him astray?
We don't have such thing as we should avoid having children. Obviously, parents should have an understanding of their responsibility and should be equipped to be good parents. But parents who, for example, are weak in their determination towards being obedient servants of Allah, but at the same time they wish that for their children, just this wish is a good thing, actually. Even for themselves, they have certain things, certain barriers that break the determination. They should find out, speak to scholars and say, why is this determination not coming? Because the love that they have, that they should have, and many are in this situation, they want their children to become very good Muslims, but they themselves are not, because they lack determination. And this love that they have for their children, for that goal to be there, shows that there is really good in their hearts. And they should be working on that to find out where the determination can come from. That doesn't mean they should stop having children either. They can obviously try their best and use all the resources available. They should also use the opportunity of having children as a spring for their own selves, for their own changes. Many a times, without exaggeration, history has seen parents or people who became or changed the direction of their life to 180 degrees because of the birth of a child. Children bring a lot of blessings. Children bring a new step of life, a new page in our lives. And this new page can start and be written in the ink of good actions and supplications, definitely.
So in this case, having a child can be a big benefit for the parents themselves. They can, for example, push themselves in strengthening their beliefs so that their child can get a stronger belief.
Yes, of course. So this is very key as well. And we find this in hadith as well, many hadith that talk about how children bring a new spring for the parents. It's a new beginning for the parents, for themselves, to act upon what Islam says is good, and for what they wish their children to achieve, they should seek that as well.
And we should also remind ourselves what we said in the beginning, that our efforts is what counts. The amount we try with sincerity is what is important, and Allah completes the rest for us. Okay, so we have approached the end of our session. We will continue, inshallah, next session by talking about the other requirements for Islamic upbringing. So, Brother Migdal, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
And I'd like to thank you, dear listener, for being with us again. And I'd like to remind you that if you have any questions or any comments, please do write to us on coi@irib.ir, and we will be very happy to answer your questions. This is Islamic Upbringing on Call of Islam Radio. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Islam solves all of its problems. Allah leaves no stone unturned. Perfect with no flaws at all are the laws of Allah. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is the way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.